Today's shir is Masechta Nedarim Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom, Lema Katanoi. As we learned in the previous shir, Rami Bar Chama posed Shaila. If one has a piece of carbon shlom meat after the Zrikas Adam, which the halacha is that shlom meat after the Zrikas Adam is permissible for eating, and one was matvis, a piece of meat that he has, a regular piece of meat, to that shlom meat that we've been discussing and will continue to learn in Mitzvah Hashem, that hatfasa is a legitimate way of affecting a nether. The question becomes now, do we say that when he was matvis in this piece of shlom meat that's after the zrika, he means in its current state, and its current state, the basa shlom after zrika is regular shlom meat. Or did he mean the original, essential shlom meat, which is a davar hanader? Carbon shlom is a davar hanader. That was the shaila Rami Bar Chama asked. And the Gemara, as we learned, tried unsuccessfully to answer that shaila. And now the Gemara suggests the lema katanoi, that this shaila of Rami Bar Chama is actually the subject of a machloikas tanon. Because the Braisa says, Harei like b'char. If somebody has a piece of meat, and he says that this piece of meat should be like b'char meat. We know that the halacha is that the pet, the rechem, the firstborn animal, goes to the kohen, male, and it has to be brought on the mizbeach as a carbon, and then the meat is eaten by the kohanim. If somebody says harei like b'char, if somebody is matfis, a regular piece of meat to b'char, Rabbi Yaakov Oyser, Rabbi Yaakov says that that's considered a valid nether. Bechor is considered a dover hanoder, and we'll discuss this more soon. Rav Yaakov Mater, and Rav Yaakov says that's not considered a dover hanoder. So explains the Gemara. Hey, Chidami. Exactly what is the situation that the machloikas of Rav Yaakov and Rav Yehuda refer to? Inem lefnei zrikas tamim, that we have a piece of bechor meat, where the zrikas tamim hasn't yet taken place. And we're asking if that's a dover hanoder or not. My tam the man the shari. Certainly it's a dover hanoder. That's what the Gemara says. If, on the other hand, la'achas rikas adamim, it's after zrikas tam, and as the Rishonim explained, where he explicitly said that this piece of meat, my piece of meat, should be like bechor meat after the zrikas adam, bechor meat after zrikas adam, if he explicitly said he means the bechor meat after zrikas adam, is like we learned in the previous year. If one were to explicitly say that my meat should be like shlom meat after the zrika, there Rami Bar Chama's question wouldn't begin. Because shlom meat that I spelled out that I'm referring after the zrika stam is regular meat. So if I'm saying the same as a bechor, that it's the bechor meat after the zrika stam, certainly that's not davar osur. My tam demand osur. Why would it be a valid nether? And although the Ram points out, there is a difference between shlom meat after zrika and bechor meat after zrika, because shlom meat after zrika belongs to any Yisrael, bechor meat after zrika is only a kohen. So the Ram says that Agamar is speaking about a kohen. And if a kohen is matfis, again, in bechor meat, and he says explicitly, I mean the bechor meat before zrika, the Gemara says that's certainly a dover hanoder, and therefore the nether is a valid nether, and if he's referring to bechor meat after the zrika, and he says it clearly, it's certainly a dover, that's not a dover hanoder, it's a perfectly fine piece of meat, it will not be a valid nether. Elalav, the question must be, the machas basa bechor, or machas basa dehech. You have a piece of bechor meat, and you have a piece of regular meat, gabei. And as we explained in the previous year, the Rosh says it doesn't really have to be physically next to each other. All he says is that he has a bechor meat. This bechor meat is actually after the zrika, but he's not describing it that way. He just has a piece of bechor meat here, and he has another piece of regular meat, and he says, this meat, my regular meat, should be like the bechor meat. And the question the Gemara wants to suggest is, v'tanayhi, it's a machloikas tanam. The man d'amar that says it's a valid nether looks at the bechor as its essential original status. Its essential original status, it was a carbon. And therefore, it's a valid nether. The other man, Domer, says, I look at it as it is today. And it is today, after the Zrika, it's regular meat. and it's not a neder. And therefore, it's not a valid neder. So what the Gemara is saying is that this shaila that we've been discussing of Rami Bachama is really a machlokes of Rav Yankov, who says that we say that he means the original status, versus Rav Yehuda, who says that we mean the current status. Says the Gemara Loi. The Kul Alma Lufnei Zrika Stamin. We are referring to a piece of Bechor meat before the Zrika. My Tama, the man the Shari. So the man the Omer that says, aye, it's before the Zrika, why is it not a valid nether? Because the Pasuk says, Amakra, and we'll discuss this more, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow, Shir. As we've been describing in the last number of Shiurim, the fundamental halacha of Atfasa is that Atfasa is only valid when you're matfis bedover hanoder, not when you're matfis bedover that's not a dover another. Kidar, the Torah teaches us that for hadvasa to be valid, it has to be achiyidar bedover hanoder. You have to be matfis with a dover hanoder. Lefuke bechar the dover hasaru. A bechar is not a dover hanoder. I don't make a bechar a bechar. A bechar is a bechar by itself. When we said that atfasa works, so what's the example we've always given? And the Mishnah is going to speak about it today still in our shir. Where somebody takes something which is a dover hanoder, like a carbon, and he compares this piece of meat to the carbon. That's a dover hanoder. A bechar is not a dover hanoder. A bechar is automatically a bechar the moment it's born. Achid a dover hanoder, lafuki bechar, the dover asahu. That's why that fossa is ineffective. Mandasar. So the one dominant says that it is a valid atfasa. Why? He says, Amakra, Lashem, Larabbis, Dover, Asr. He agrees that conceptually a Bechar is not a Dover, another, because it's automatically Kodesh by birth. But the Torah adds the word Lashem to teach us that Bechar, although it's not a Dover, another, can affect the Hatfasa. And as Rishonim explained, let's not get carried away with this machloikas, they say. Certainly everybody still agrees with the halacha that we've been discussing, that atfas is only valid with a dover hanoder, not with a dover osir. All the pasuk is teaching us is, there's one exception to the rule. Bechor. Everything else, certainly a dover osir is not a good atfasr, dover hanoder is good atfasr. Ask the Gemara, umanda osir, according to the manda omer that says, that hatfasr would the mandam says that atfasa and a bechor is not a good atfasa. Because as we've been explaining, a bechor is not a dover hanoder, it's automatically kodesh, holy. So what will he do with this superfluous lashem? He's not using it to teach us that it comes to add a bechor. Lashem, my avidlei, what does he do with the word with Hashem? Answers the Gemara, that atfasa with a chatas for Hashem, which are obligatory kabbonis, as we've been discussing. If somebody does an aveira, he's mechuyev to bring a carbon chattis, he's mechuyev to bring a carbon asham. So one would say that those kabbonis are not considered dover hanoder, and therefore cannot be the subject of atfasa, kamash melon lashem, that chattis v'asham can be the subjects of hatfasa. Ask the Gemara, according to this mandomer, we have the word lashem. We all agree that the word of Hashem is extra. The machlokes says, what do I use it for? Do I use it to teach us Bechor, or do I use it to teach us Chatas for Hashem? So the second mandama says that we use it preferably to teach us Chatas for Hashem. Ask the Gemara, Ma'ari Yisrael, Rabbis Chatas for Hashem, Lahitzis Bechor, why do you feel the Chatas for Hashem are considered more of a Dover another versus Bechor? Answers the Gemara, Ma'bani Chatas for Hashem, Shumatvis beneder, umaitzin yesa bechor, shukodesh bemei imai. Chatas v'ashem, and there's three pshatim in the Rishonim how to explain this, come through my verbal designation. A bechor has nothing to do with my verbal designation. It's as soon as it's born, it's a bechor. So the first pshat is in this Gemara is, as I said, a chatas v'ashem, even if I'm obligated, I did an aveir chas v'shalom, that I'm a chuyv to bring a chatas v'ashem, my animal doesn't automatically become a chatas v'ashem. I have to go out and designate this animal as a chatas v'ashem. A bechor, I don't designate it. It's automatic. Another pshat is that if I designated an animal as a chatas or asham, and then something should happen to the animal. The halacha is I could be paid, I could redeem this animal, and another animal will become my carbon chatas, carbon ashram. A bechor, I can't redeem and make another animal bechor. It's this animal's the bechor, no other animal. The Rambam has a different explanation. He says there are cases where a chatas for ashram could come through a neder, through my own personal voluntary decision. Where? If I decide to be a nazir, that the halacha is a nazir, as we've been learning, if he becomes tamei, has to bring a carbon ashram. And even if he does become tamei, every nazir, as he completes his term of naziris, has to bring a carbon chatas. But how did that chatas come? How did that ashram come? Because I chose to be a nazir. It was something that it was a davar hanadar. A bechor never is a davar hanadar. Ask the Gemara. So now we need to understand the man the Omer that holds that a Bechor is a Dover Hanadar is difficult to understand. Because as we've been learning now, a Bechor has nothing to do with my nether. A Bechor is automatically a Bechor. Ask the Gemara, man the Osir, the man the Omer that holds Hatfasa and a Bechor is a legitimate Hatfasa. Bechor nami matfis v'nether. Why could I do that? Why is a Bechor considered a Dover Hanadar? Says the Gemara, the Tanya Mishum Rebbe Omer. Rebbe taught us, I have Bechor. A Bechor is born in my home. That even though it's automatically a Bechor, still mitzvah lagdishai, I have to verbally be magdishit. Shenema hazocher tagdish. I have to be magdishit. So that's why, even though, yes, a Bechor is automatically a Bechor by birth, it's still considered davar hanader, because it requires my verbal being magdishit. Or mandashari. And according to Mandama that holds that a Bechor is not a Dover Anodr, I have to be Magdishit. Isn't that a proof that it's a Dover Anodr? Says the Gemara, Kaloi Magdish, Loi Milai Magdish. Yes, halachically, preferably, I'm supposed to be Magdishit. But let's say I didn't. Will that take away from it being a Bechor? It's a Bechor automatically, and therefore, it cannot be considered a Dover Anodr. The Mepharshim discuss this din that we learned now, that a Bechor, you have to be Magdish. Why? So the Briskerov says a very simple word. He said, because that's what the Torah told us to do. The Torah told us to be Magdishit. We don't have to understand why. But as I was trying to understand the Briskerov, I was thinking to myself, actually, the Gemara, every Shabbos is a proof to the Briskerov's Pshat. We know Shabbos begins Friday night, no matter what. But we know, the Pasuk says, Zachar is Yom Shabbos L'Kachoy. We have to make Shabbos Kiddush every Friday night by making Kiddush. Does our Kiddush make a difference? It's Shabbos if you don't make Kiddush also. So we see that even though something is automatically Kiddush, the Torah sometimes requires that we be Magdishit. And Bechor is the same. That's how the Briskerov explains this Gemara. Rav Shimon Shkop has a different approach. And there's two ways of understanding Rav Shimon. One way that the Mepharshim explain what Rav Shimon Shkop says is yes, the Bechor has a Kedusha as soon as it's born, but the Torah wants it to have another level of Kedusha, the Kedusha that we make by us articulating that it's Kiddush. And really we say it every morning, Kaddish li kol Bechor. The Torah wants us to be Magdish the Bechor. Another pshat that I saw in what Rav Shimon says is even a bigger Kiddush. Until we're Magdish the Bechor, it has Kedusha. How does it have Kedusha? Min HaShemayim. The moment it was born. The Torah tells us that we should be Magdishit. When we are Magdish the Bechor, that original Kedusha falls away, the Kedusha min HaShemayim, and a new Kedusha comes in its place, the Kedusha that we verbalized. What would be, the Mepharshim say, a nafgamina between the Pshat of the Briskerov versus the Pshat of Rav Shimon Shkop? We know that the halacha is that we're not allowed to be Magdish an animal on Shabbos. That means, let's say somebody is Mechuyev a carbon. On Shabbos, he has time, so he's going to go out to his ranch, and he's going to designate an animal for the carbon. The halacha is that may not be done in Shabbos. Why? Because the halacha is that Shabbos, you're not allowed to be Magdish, it's like Mekach HaMemkar. The question is, this thing that the Gemara taught us now, that you're supposed, besides that the Bechor has its own inherent Kedusha, we're supposed to be Magdishit, would that be allowed to be done on Shabbos? If we follow the opinion of Briskerov, my Hegdish is just, I'm fulfilling a mitzvah, but it's not really doing anything. So I'm allowed to be Magdishit on Shabbos. If, on the other hand, we follow Rav Shimon Shkop's opinion that my Hegdish is actually affecting a real Kedusha, then I'm not allowed to be Magdish on Shabbos, like I'm not allowed to be Magdish any carbon on Shabbos. That's interesting. The Pesachei Tshuva paskins that even though we know the halacha is that if someone has an animal that's born, he cannot be Magdish the animal as a carbon until it's 8 days old. That's on a regular animal. But an animal that's a Bechor, that our Gemara is teaching us, we're supposed to be Magdish the animal, even though it's already Kaddish. Since it's anyway already Kaddish, you would be allowed to be Magdish even before it's 8 days old. So here we end the sugya of Rami Bacham Mishayla. The only thing is we ended without an answer to the question. The Gemara didn't answer the question. So the Ran quotes the Ramban to answer this question. How does the Ramban answer this question? He says, the Gemara Masechta Nazir says like this. Let's say we have five individuals. The first individual says, Hareini Nazir, I'm a Nazir. The next person says, Vani, and the next person says, Vani. So the halacha is that they're all Nazir. Says the Gemara Masechta Nazir, if the first individual is Shoyal, he has his Naziris annulled. So everybody's Naziris dependent on the first Naziris. So they're all no longer going to be Nazir. What will be the halacha if individual number three had his Naziris annulled? So the Gemara says that individuals number one and two are still Nazirim. Everybody after three, four, and five are no longer Nazirim. Says the Ramban, the Ran quotes him. From here we see that a person, when he's typhus, he goes to the most current, not to the original. He's typhus in individual three, like the most current, not to the original one, Mr. Number One, and therefore, since he was Tyler's Naziris in number three, his Naziris falls, and that we don't say he's Tyler's Naziris in number one. So the Ran brings a Raya. The Ramban says, from here we see that when we have such a Shaila, we follow the current status. However, the Ran quotes the Rambam, who says that we go back to the original status. Going back to our Shaila, when we have a Karban Shlomim after the Zrika, do we look at it as it is now, or do we go back to its original status, that it was a Karban Shlomim? The Rambam says we go back to the original status. I ask the Ran, what's the Rambam going to do with the Raya of the Ramban? So he says, you can't compare the two situations. In the situation of the Nazirim, you have five separate individuals. Each individual is an independent individual, and number two was Tyler number one, number three and number two, number four and number three, number five and number four. Here we're only dealing with one piece of meat. So the question is, the shlomim piece of meat that I have in front of me, do I look at its current status, do I look at its original status? That has nothing to do with that shayla. Kimra Kedirim, we learned in the Mishnah that Yehuda said that if somebody is typhus in carbon, or imra means that animals, or dirim means the enclosure where they kept the animals or they kept the wood for the Mizbeach, he has to say the Chof. Ki Imra, ki Karben, ki Dir. However, says the Gemara Tana, we learned in the Braisa, that disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Imra, Le Imra, ki Imra. We don't have to say ki Imra. We could say Imra, we could say Le Imra. Dirim, Le Dirim, ki Dirim. We don't have to say ki Dirim. We could say Dirim or Le Dirim. Eitzim, we don't have to say Eitzim. We could say Le Eitzim or ki Eitzim. Ishim, we don't have to say Le Ishim. Ki'ishim, we could say Ishim, Le'ishim, Ki'ishim. Mizbeach, we don't have to say Ki'mizbeach, we could say Mizbeach, Le'mizbeach, Ki'mizbeach. Heichel, Le'heichel, Ki'heichel. We don't have to say Ki'heichel, we could say Le'heichel or Heichel. Yushalayim, Le'yushalayim, Ki'yushalayim. We don't have to say Ki'yushalayim, we could say Le'yushalayim or Yushalayim. Kulon, in all of these situations, if I said Che'oichenloch, that means if I said carbon, Le'oichenloch, what I eat from you, if it should be like a carbon, I will not loy oichalach. Kulan shoichalach. If I say the words shoichalach, carbon shoichalach, what I eat of yours should be like a carbon. Asur, it's a valid neder. If I say loy oichalach, if I say carbon loy oichalach, mutter. That will not be an effective neder. Taisvis quotes an interesting machloikus rishonim. What will be the halacha according to Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda says we always have to have this prefix of the chaf. What about by koinim? We learned in our perek that one of the effective kinuyim is koinim. Will by koinim be the same halacha Taisus suggests? That just like by carbon I have to say ki carbon. By koinim, for the nether to be effective I have to say ki koinim. That's Taisus' first pshat. And then Taisus quotes a re that says koinim is not similar to carbon. Why? It says carbon means that I mean the carbon itself. So if I want to do an effective atfasa, according to Rabbi Yehuda, I have to say it should be kick carbon, like the carbon. Kainim is not to be looked at as a noun, says the Ri. Kainim is a verb. Kainim, I want to separate myself, and therefore I don't have to say kick kainim. Even if I say kainim, it will be effective. Says the Gemara, man shemin and lay, who is a Tana that holds the Lashon le'imra, imra le'imra kimra, that doesn't require this prefix of the Chof? Says the Gemara, Rabbeihi. It follows the opinion of Rav Meir. Says the Rosh, how do we know it follows the opinion of Rav Meir? What leads us to believe that? Says the Rosh, that throughout Shas, whenever we find Rabbi Yehuda, and then we find somebody disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda, who is usually the man, the Omer, that disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda? Rav Meir. So if I find here Brisa that's clearly disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, it must be the opinion of Rav Meir. Says the Gemara, Amos Sefer. But let's continue with this Brisa. The Kulon Loyoichaloch, the Brisa continued saying, if somebody said carbon Loyoichaloch, mutter. It's not an effective nether. Ask the Gemara, Batan, we're going to learn in the next Mishnah. We're going to learn in a couple of moments. But we already learned this thing. That the Mishnah says, if somebody said, look, carbon Loyoichaloch, Ramea Ois. Ramea holds it's an effective nether. Says Rab Abba, even though, as we learned earlier in the Parak, Ramei is the mandama that doesn't hold that we say mechlalav atashmeyahein. Why is this an effective nether? Nasa, because we understand his statement to be lekarbon yahei. This item should be like a carbon lefikach loyachalach, and therefore I will not be allowed to eat it. So we see if somebody uses the words lekarbon loyachalach, it's an effective nether according to Ramei. If we're attributing this brisa that we just learned to Ramei, here the brisa says the carbon loyoichaloch mutter. It's not an effective nether. So the Gemara is asking, how can we say that the Tana of this Brisa is Rameya? The Brisa clearly teaches us a din that Rameya in the next Mishnah disagrees with. Answers the Gemara, Lakasha. Hadaim Allah le'imra, hadaim le'imra. If somebody said le'imra or le'carbon, so we explain what he says like this. If somebody says that, those words, we explain le'carbon. This food should be like a carbon. Lefikach loyoichaloch. I'm not allowed to eat it. And it's a valid nether. If somebody said loy carbon, or Durant says he doesn't even have to use the words loy, he's saying, even if he says la carbon, that we also learned at the beginning of, earlier, at the beginning of our sugya, that la means the same as loy. So what's he saying? Loy carbon. It's not a carbon. Loyoichaloch. So therefore, I'm allowed to eat it. Only something that's a carbon, I'm not allowed to eat. But if it's not a carbon, I'm allowed to eat it. So the difference between the Brisa and the Mishnah is in the Brisa, we're referring to a situation that he either said loy carbon or la carbon. That's why Ramei will hold it's not a valid nether. In the Mishnah we're about to learn, he used the word li with a shva, and that's why it's a good nether. Says the Mishnah, haim a carbon, if somebody says that his nether, that he's being matzvus in a carbon. And the Mefarshim go to great lengths to explain why our Mishnah gives each one of the examples it does as an effective hatfasa. Carbon, one would think that he doesn't mean the carbon itself, the animal itself, which is a dover hanoder. Maybe he means carbon, that I want to come close to Hashem. That's not a way of saying hatfasa. Oila. The halacha is that not every carbon oila is a dover hanoder. We know that every day we had to bring two carbon oilas, carbon tamid, that are obligatory. So maybe an oila should not be considered a dover nadar. That's why our Mishnah teaches us it is. Mincha. Since in the mincha, there are the shirayim, which are permitted to be eaten. So one would think that when somebody is matfis in the mincha, he's not matfis in the carbon mincha, which is a dover nadar. He's being matfis in the shirayim, which are not a dover nadar. Chatos. Again, as we learned in the previous year, one would suggest that a chatos, since one is obligated to bring a carbon chatos, when he does an Aveira, a Karma Chata should not be considered a Dover Anodr. And the Farshim say that the Mishnah omits saying a Karma Ashram because a Karma Ashram has the same din as a Karma Chatos. So once our Mishnah teaches us that a Karma Chatos is an effective Hatfasa, there is no need to tell us that a Karma Ashram is an effective Hatfasa. Taida. One would think, say the Mefarshim, that a Karma Taida is not considered a Dover Anodr. Since the halacha is arba tzrichin lahaydus, the four people who experience different wonderful things that must bring a carbon toida, I would not consider it a dover another. Maybe I should consider it a dover hachoiva. Shlamim also one maybe would not consider a dover hanodor, say the Mefarshim, because the halach is that when Klal Yisrael would come to Yerushalayim to be oil regal, they would bring shlamim, that would be the meat that they ate. So it's not really for the purpose of a carbon. It's more for the purpose of my own meat consumption. So that's why the Mishnah teaches us in all these cases, if he was matfis in any of these subjects, shani oichalach, awesome. And certainly the Mefarshim say that if somebody's matfis bebedek habayis, we actually learned it, that if somebody's matfis in something that he donated to the Beis HaMikdash, that is certainly a davar hanodor, and it's an effective hatfasa. Rabbi Yehuda, as we just learned, matter. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, for the hatfasa to be valid, we have to have the prefix of the chaf. And in these cases that we just learned, we're missing that prefix, that's not a valid hatfasa. Continues the Mishnah. Ha-carbon, ki-carbon, carbon sh'oichalach. If somebody says, what I eat should have the din like a carbon, so according to Rabbi Meir, who doesn't require the prefix of the chaf, it's a valid nether. Continues Rabbi Meir, and this is the din that we've already quoted Rabbi Meir a number of times saying, l'karbon l'oichalach, if somebody says, l'karbon l'oichalach, what I eat should be l'karbon, this should be like a carbon, and like Rav Abba explains, and we'll see in the Gemara moment again, says it, therefore what I eat l'oichalach, Osir, that's a valid hatfasa. Now the Ram points out that when somebody uses the word l'karbon, it makes no difference if he uses l'karbon loy oichalach or l'karbon oichalach. So why does the Mishnah ask the Ram combine the din of l'karbon that it's always valid? So he says because the halacha is that by l'karbon it makes no difference if I say loy oichalach or I say oichalach, it's a valid neder. However, by ha-carbon, or ki-carbon, or carbon, there it's only a valid nether when she-oichalach, so that's why the Mishnah separates between oichalach and loyoichalach. K'tani, so continues the Gemara. Our Mishnah says, carbon, ha-carbon, ki-carbon, if somebody used any of this type of terminology, she-oichalach, osur. He doesn't have to have that chof prefix. Stama, Tana, who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Kremeya. It represents the opinion of Ramey that we just finished learning before we learned the Mishnah, that according to him, l'shanilei ben imra le'imra, if he said the chaf or not. Ask the Gemara, I Rameya, if we're going to say that the opinion of our Mishnah represents Rameya, hadik tani, our Mishnah said that if somebody said, ha-karben sh'oichalach, osur, it's a valid neder, v'tanya, maidim chacham le'bi Yehuda. And if we have the Chacham arguing Rabbi Yehuda, as we said earlier, who must those Chachamim be? Rameya. Because as I said earlier, who is the man, the Amr, that always argues with Rabbi Yehuda? Rameya. So, Maidim Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda, Rameya agrees, the Oima Ha Karbon, the Ha Oila, the Ha Mincha, the Ha Chatish Eichelach, Shemutter. Why? Because we interpret it, Shlei Nada Ze El B'chaya Karbon. When somebody says Ha Karbon, what he means to say is, I'm using the carbon to swear, I'm swearing by the carbon, by the life of this carbon, which is a meaningless statement. So, and Ramey is saying that. So now the Gemara's question is, in our Mishnah, which we're attributing to Ramey, we say that if somebody says, ha carbon, sha'oichalach, it's a valid nether. Here we have Ramey explicitly agreeing to Rabbi Yehuda that when you say ha carbon, it's not a valid nether. Answers the Gemara, loy kasha. Hada amma ha carbon, hada amma ha carbon. It makes a difference if you said it as two words, ha carbon, versus if you said it as one word. My tama, because when you say ha carbon, he meant to say chai carbon comer, which we know, as I just explained, he's just swearing or being menader by the life of the animal, which is a meaningless statement, and therefore it's not a nether, even according to a mayor. So our Mishnah is referring to a situation that he said ha-carbon as one word. That, Ramey holds, is a valid nether. However, when he separated it into two words, ha-carbon, Ramey will hold, it's not a valid nether. And now the Gemara repeats, either for the third or fourth time, K'tani, we learned in our Mishnah, Ramey holds, l'carbon l'oichalach, Ramey oiser. Ask the Gemara, Pashapshat, how will we understand why it's awesome? Because it's Mechla Lava Teshmehein. l'karben l'ayachalach. What I don't eat will not be a carbon. What I do eat should be a carbon. But we can't explain Rameyah that way. Because as we said at the beginning of this sugya, Rameyah doesn't subscribe to Mechal Lava Teshmeyahein. So now we need to understand, as we've been explaining, why according to Rameyah, if somebody says l'karben l'ayachalach, is it a valid nether? Tani l'karben l'ayachalach Rameyah asr. Ask the Gemara, as we just explained, v'lesle Rameyah Mechal Lava Teshmeyahein. So why is it a valid nether? Amar Rab Abba nas l'karben yehei. What we interpret his words to mean l'karben yehei l'fikach l'ayachalach. They saying two parts of a sentence. L'karben yehei, what I have here should be like a carbon, and therefore I may not eat it. But as we learned in the previous sugya, it's only if he said the l'karben with a shva l'karben. Had he said l'karben with a pasach, Ramei will agree that it's not a valid neder. Actually, what the Gemara is going to do now, the Gemara of the Mishnayis, is we're going to take a break for the next sugya from the Hatlochas of Hatfasa, and we're going to come right back to Hatfasa at the beginning of the next parak. But as we now take a break from the Hilchas Hatfasa, I saw a very nice vart from the Chedush Erim, a Pidrush, that says, as we've been learning, as we said earlier in our shir, that the fundamental halacha in Hatfasa is that Hatfasa bedavar ha'osr is not a valid Hatfasa, and Hatfasa bedavar ha'nodr is a valid Hatfasa. Says, where do we find this in the Torah, says the Chedush Erim? The Chedush Erim says, we go back to Parshas Bereishis. In Parshas Bereishis, we find that Chava said that I was told, Leisiga, we're now not even touched Eitz Hadas, which wasn't true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him not to eat, but you're allowed to touch. So the question is, so don't we have siyogim? Don't we always have gezeiros that go past what the Torah says to make sure that we're not over? So here too, enechanami, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only told him not to eat. So they made a siyog, they went the extra mile. What's the problem? The problem, says the Chedush Erim, was that they treated something which was a dover hanodor, something which was a man-made isser, like it was a dover osser, like was an ism and a shemayim. And our Gemara teaches us that there's a difference between what we create versus what HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates. That was the taina on Adam and Chava. Says the Mishnah, Haim el chaveroi, if somebody says to his colleague, Koinem pi medabimach, my mouth may not speak with you, Yodei oisimach, I'm not allowed to do anything with you, Ragli mehalachismach, I'm not allowed to walk for you, osser. And the three pshatim in the Rishonim and how to explain this neder. The simplest pshat, as we just learned, is that I'm making a neder that I'm not allowed to talk to you, I'm not allowed to walk for you, I'm not allowed to look at you. That's the simplest pshat. Another pshat that the Rishonim give is that I'm saying to you, you're not allowed to talk to me, and you're not allowed to look at me, and you're not allowed to walk with me. A third pshat that the Rishonim explain our Mishnah saying is that the neder here is that I'm saying that if I talk to you, then all the fruit, all these items will become asur to me. I have items in front of me, and I say that if I violate and talk to you, then these fruits, or these whatever food here, will become asur. Verminu asked the Gemara, how is this a valid neder? We're going to learn a mitzvah shem. Chayma b'shvuos v'medarim. A shvu has a chumra, has a stringency over nedarim. U'medarim b'shvuos. And nedarim have a chumra over shvuos. Chayim bin Nedarim, what does the Chumra the Nedarim have? Should Nedarim chal on a mitzvah? A neder can be chal on a dar mitzvah. That means, as we're going to learn more in Mitzvah Shem in the next parak, if I have a sukkah, so I have an obligation on sukkahs to sit on the sukkah. If I go and I make a neder that all sukkahs are usher to me, I'm not making a neder against the mitzvah. I'm making a neder against the sukkah, and therefore the neder is a valid neder. What have we always been learning? What is the fundamental difference between a neder and a shvua? A neder is an issa cheftza, a shvua is an issa gavra. A person cannot make a neder that I won't sit in the sukkah, because he already is obligated to sit in the sukkah on sukkahs. So he cannot make a neder that's an issa gavra that violates his prior chiv. A shvua is not violating his chiv. I have a chiv to sit in the sukkah. I didn't make a neder that I'm not going to sit in the sukkah. I made a neder that the sukkah is also to me. Then I won't be able to sit in the sukkah, but I didn't make a neder to break a mitzvah. The Mefarshim go on to explain a few interesting halachas. What will be the halacha? Very interesting din. The halacha is, we're not allowed to eat non-kosher food. Most Mefarshim, Rishonim, Vachroinim say that the issa to eat non-kosher food, all the Yisurim in the Torah, are to be viewed as an issa gavra, not as an issa chefza. That means if I have here non-kosher food, the issa for me to eat the non-kosher food is not because the non-kosher food is asr. It's because I have an issa gavra to eat non-kosher food. So let's say somebody goes and makes a neder, that a piece of chazer should be asr, the neder will be chal. Because there is no issa chefza on that chazer, so now I can create an issa chefza. I can't create an issa gavra because issa gavra is there already. And we learned earlier in our perek, ein shvua chal al shvua. Similarly, along the same lines. Let's say I made a shvua. Interesting halacha. Let's say I made a shvua that I'm not allowed to eat something. That's a kosher food. But I made a shvua that I'm not allowed to eat something. So how do we interpret that shvua? As we've been saying, it's an issa gavra. That I'm not allowed to eat that food. It's not an issa chefza. So therefore the halacha would be that even though I already made a shvua that I'm not allowed to eat the food, I could still make another neder that food is also to me. Because till now it was only an issa gavra, and now with the neder I'm making an issa chefza. The Mefarshim also point out that there's another chumrah that nedarim have over shvuas. What we've been learning. Nedarim work with hatfasa. You can't do shvua with hatfasa. Our Bryce that we're quoting doesn't mention that. Mash enkei b'shvus, as we said, a shvua cannot be chal on a dvar mitzvah. I can't make a shvua that I won't sit in the sukkah on sukkahs. However, continues the Mishnah, the chayim b'shvus sheshvus chalos adover sheish b'mamish v'shayim b'mamish. A shvua can be chal even something that's not tangible. I can make a shvua, I won't talk to you. Talking is not a tangible item, because a shvua is not required that it be tangible. It's a gavra. Mash enkein b'nedarim. And there are two opinions in the Mefarshim how to understand this. Some explain that the halacha of nedarim is that a neder has to be on a chefza, on an item. It has to be dovah sheish b'mamish, a tangible item. A shvua doesn't have that halacha. Or many Mefarshim, the Ritva already says this, says that every shvua is on a tangible item. Because how are we defining a shvua? As an issa gavra. The gavra is always a tangible item. So if I make a shvua that I'm not allowed to talk to you, there is a tangible item that the shvua is chal on. Me! But the neder that speaks that I make a neder I'm not allowed to talk, the subject is talking, talking is a davar sheish b'mamish. So ask the Gemara, why in our Mishnah, when somebody made a neder that he's not allowed to talk to someone else, is it a valid neder? It's a davar sheish b'mamish. And the Bryce is teaching us that a neder is not effective in a davar sheish b'mamish. So the Ran says that the Gemara could have given an answer, that this is a neder that's only effective midrabbonim. However, says the Ran, the Gemara wanted to give a teretz where a neder will even be effective midraisa. Says the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda, the way to interpret this neder is yes, appeal of the buri. I'm making a neder on a tangible item. The tangible item is my mouth. Yodei l'maseyim. The tangible item is my hands. Ragli l'aluchan on my feet. And says the Gemara, Dekanami, the Ktani, let's go back to our Mishnah. When this person made a neder that he's not allowed to talk to you, he didn't just say that I'm making a neder I'm not allowed to talk to you. He said, Pi medaber imach. V'lo ktani shani medaber imach. However, say to Rishonim, what will be the halacha? That if somebody made a neder, he didn't come to the shir, and he made a neder, and he didn't use the word pi. He just said, I'm making a neder sh'ani medaber imach, that I won't speak to you. Will it be an effective neder or not? What is the question? Do we go and reinterpret every neder, even though he didn't use the word pi, he didn't use the word mouth, that's what he meant, and that's why it's a valid neder? Do we say that if he did not use the word mouth, so we have no dovah sheish by mamish, we have no tangible item, and it's not a good neder, at least midaraisa. So Rishonim say that what the Gemara here is teaching us is that every time I use the words shani medabimach and to make a neder, and I didn't use the word pi, we explain that that's what he meant, and therefore it's a valid neder midaraisa. Hadron Lachal Kanuya, Hadron Lachal Kanuya, Hadron Lachal Kanuya.
You said the second shot in Rosh Hashanah, you mentioned the Kedusha goes off, Rosh Hashanah.